Brother Joshua and my dear brother Justin, son, you changed the message on me.
Good.
Okay, so roll with me here. Tonight, I don't know about you, but I got a swift kick. I won't tell you where.
Same.
My wife has been talking to me about a person that I need to reach out to more. Maybe after 51 years of marriage, I'm getting used to her voice. But tonight, I feel like I was slapped to reality.
Yeah.
And I know Sharon forgives me, right? Okay. But the word of the Lord came to me tonight, and the word oil. Oil. My grandfather was a roustabout in Texas and Oklahoma. Rough character, really rough. And I began to realize, why do you speak to me of oil, Lord? One word. He could give me a sentence, give me a hint. But I can see why. Because he's going to tell me as I go. So will you allow me to fumble through a little bit? I know everybody's looking forward to Turkey Day. And when the kids were young, I used to sing a song every Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, turkey, fat turkey, fat turkey. Gobble, 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 gobble. If the ocean were dressing and I was a duck, I'd swim to the bottom and go cluck, 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 cluck. Of course, for you that have ever smelled an alcoholic beverage, you know it goes a different way. Rye whiskey, my money's my own. But I would sing that to my girls when they were young. They always laughed. But the word oil came to me. And if you go to Revelation chapter 6, I'm going to show you something, even though this is symbolic. In Revelation chapter 6, you know this, there's judgments here, and we have the seals. Not Navy SEALs, we're talking about the seals that were broken. And it says in 6:6, I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures, or the four creatures, saying, a measure of wheat for a denarius. That's a day's wage. That's a handful of wheat for working hard all day. And three measures of barley for a denarius. And say this with me, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. If you look at the book of Isaiah, it says, or Proverbs, you can search it out. It says, buy oil and sell it not. All of us here have gifts. Some different, we all differ one from another. We need one another's giftings. Different calls. But I begin to realize over the years that there's people that are building oil in their lives. And I would like to take you tonight, if I can, to a very familiar parable Jesus spoke of. And that's in Matthew 25. Can I go there? I'm going to try, with the grace of God, give you a perspective on what the Lord is speaking to me about. And I'll let you in on it. I'm going to let you know what he's speaking to me about. Because I think all of us can identify with this parable in one way or another. And it begins in Matthew 25. And he begins to talk about, what does he begin to talk about? Oh, yeah. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, who took in their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and what does it say? Took no oil. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Let's talk. I've been around women for a long time. That didn't sound right. I have two daughters, my wife, mother, my grandmother. But I've learned things over the years living with women. There's five cardinal rules for women. You don't leave the house without your lipstick. Women always generally take longer to get dressed than you do. Why? Because they put on their dresses, they go to the mirror, their hair, makeup, jewelry, is this appropriate? Look in the mirror, make sure it's set right. Whereas boys, where's my hat? We'll walk out sometimes outside in our shorts. Oh, Stan did wear shorts tonight.
I wore shorts.
You did?
I'm wearing shorts.
Maybe I opened the door too quick on that. But I thought to myself as I read this parable again and again and again, how is it possible that the foolish virgins didn't bring oil? What were they preoccupied with? They know they were going to meet the bridegroom. I am sure that every one of those virgin women waiting for the bridegroom adjusted their dresses, fixed their hair, put on Maybelline, I guess. Ladies use, I don't check it out. I don't personally wear it. Put on the perfume. I think they were looking in their mirrors, and I think they were so looking forward to it, they made sure their lamps were polished, and that it worked, and they were, that lamp was like a purse. I don't know many women that leave a home without a purse. Have you ever tried to carry a woman's purse? Don't, it'll break your arm. But the weight. And the stuff that they can put in that purse is absolutely mind-blowing. But the foolish virgins didn't put oil in their purses, if you will, or in their containers. How is that possible? What were they preoccupied with? They were preoccupied with the prophetic word that came to Justin tonight. They were preoccupied with appearance. And what was the substance they needed? They needed the oil. They could have gone out disheveled. But if they had the oil, they would have went in. As a church, my great concern is appearances.
Amen.
Why do we expect certain appearances out of Christians? You know, there's the Christian walk. You see it. And when they go into church, if they're Catholic, like I had, was raised, you had your beads ready to go with your little missal. And you would greet everybody. Everything was proper. The priest was on, got all of his vestments on, and you went to church. Matter of fact, the Protestants used to say go to meeting clothes. Is that true? Is it go to meeting? I go to Sunday clothes or something that the kids could look like ragamuffins, but when it came to Sunday, they put on their Sunday best.
Amen.
They went to church on Sunday because they had to look the part. My dad told me a story. He said that it was amazing that the place where he worked at, it was an oil refinery, believe it or not. He said there was the janitor. And he worked really hard. He got real dirty and everything. And one day he was there overtime. And he saw the janitor go to his locker. I guess they had some type of shower there, and he showered. And he went to his locker, and he put all his dirty clothes were in the locker. But he took out a shirt and tie and a suit and a hat, and we walk home with his briefcase to his house. He says, that was strange. This man was so enamored by wanting to look the part. What do Christians look like?
Average everyday people, whether it be from a working background.
Who would believe that Brother Andrew is a Christian? I do. But we are talking about oil. The foolish virgins, with all of their primp and all of the appearances, forgot the most valuable thing. The oil.
The oil.
Be careful. Don't harm the oil or the wine. The wine speaks of the message.
Amen.
Tonight, wasn't it about the prophetic and the vision? Josh gave it. We were to shine forth a message. And what was that message? Jesus. Jesus. Our faces are to shine. And many of you may not realize this, but when they ordained people in the Old Testament, they used anointing oil. There's a key difference, and many of you know this. Saul, King Saul, was anointed with a box of oil, man-made. Where David was anointed with the horn of oil. The horn. There was blood when they took off the horn. Somebody got bloody. I tell you, they don't give up their horns that easy.
Nope.
But we do understand that oil and the delivery of that oil is critical for ordination. Some of you may know this if you studied any type of Greek literature, especially the Olympics. It was a very common thing for the athletes to strip down naked and they would cover themselves with oil. And oil was to bring strength to them. They'd rub themselves down and shine. And so when they would run the arena, they would glisten in the sun. I don't know if they still do this, Joe, but sometimes when they go to horse shows, I've seen people take cans of spray and spray their animals before they showed them a kind of a shiny coat that they would put on them. Have you ever seen anything like that? Oh, I. Horse shows?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Also, too, what about oil? All of us talk to oil every day. Maybe too often. Our cell phones are made from an oil product. The clothes that you wear are made from oil. We take it for granted every day that oil is in the natural, especially during the Industrial Revolution, became more and more necessary for lifestyle. But yet you go to the Old Covenant, and the Lord says, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. The oil. People say, I want an anointing in my life. What is Jesus? There's many Jesuses. Go to Mexico and go into a crowd of men and say, hey, Jesus! You'll have 50 heads turn around because they all have the name Jesus. Jesus means Yeshua. But that name Jesus, the Christ. What separates Jesus is the Christ or the anointing. That's the key. How many of you heard the term charisma? We get the word carries. Carries. It's anointing. There are sometimes there's people that are so gifted and have an anointing on them, even if it's secular, I've seen this happen.
Yeah.
They'll suck the air out of the room the minute they walk in. There are people in this world that can walk and say nothing, but everybody is attracted to them. It's a gift. It's also oil. Jesus was anointed by Mary with a very precious ointment. And Judas and the other disciples said, "Hey, why are they spending such money on this?" And Jesus said, "No, no. This is necessary for my burial." I would like you to concentrate on what I said. What were those foolish virgins doing not to bring oil? It's bizarre. A woman wouldn't forget to bring her lipstick. But I would like you, if just for a few moments, to go in your Bibles to, where do I want you to go? Judges chapter 7. Could you go in your Bibles to Judges chapter 7? Many of you are familiar with this verse, these verses. But many of you know the story of Gideon and Gideon's army. And if you go to the book of Judges, let me get there. Judges chapter 7. You'll find that Gideon was forming his army in Judges chapter 7. And forming this army, he was to go against the Midianites. And in 7 verse 1, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people who were with him, rose up early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morak in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, "The people who are with thee are too many for me to give Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves or puff up their chest against me. Mine own hand has saved me." We call that in theology autosoteric, self-salvation. And there are many that believe in autosoteric religion. They can save themselves by doing good works and don't beat the kids or don't beat the wife. Go to church twice a year, Christmas and Easter. I've done my duty, I'm going to heaven. I don't beat anybody, I don't cheat. That's autosoteric. Because Ephesians 2:9 says we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anybody should boast. So God is telling Gideon, you have too many people. Unless you win and vaunt yourself, puff yourself up like you, "Thanks God, but I don't really need you today." "Now therefore go proclaim the hearing of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful or afraid, let him return and depart early from the Mount Gilead." And there returned to the 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Okay, here we go. We're talking about the oil. Stan touched on this when he talked last time, but I'm going to cover something. You had 32,000. 22,000 said, "I'm chicken. I'm scared. I'm afraid." And they split. That left 10,000, right? Is my math correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Each of those men is only worth $1.
Yeah, women are worth more. Where did I put my glasses?
You look like past.
Find someone to check.
Pocket.
Thank you. So, it gets in more interesting. So, "Now therefore go and proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying,
Whosoever is fearful and afraid, in verse 3, now he gets to 4. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are too many. Can you imagine how Gideon was shivering in his boots or sandals? Bring them down unto the water. In symbolism, what does water represent? The word of God.
The word of God.
And I will test them for thee there, and it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whom I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. And he brought them, the people, unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shall thou be by himself. Likewise, everyone who bows down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest, the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Follow me. The army of God, the first test. Is fear. How many of you know the Bible tells us fear has torment, but perfect love casts out all fear? You know, tonight with the prophetic word, it talked about meeting people and being kind to people and being hospitable, even to those that may be repulsive for some reason or another. People sometimes are afraid. People say shyness. Well, they're so shy. What they're telling you is they're fearful. They're fearful of what people might think, or they're fearful of exuding themselves. Fear has torment. It brings on anxiety. And so what was the first test of the army? Get those that are scared out. But the second one is most intriguing. And I will share this with you. The second one is like I was telling you, the foolish virgins. They went into their purses. They had all their lipstick and everything. But what didn't they bring?
The oil. Extra
the oil. So what do you say? They were sloppy.
Did I spell it wrong?
No, you spelled it. It looks sloppy.
It looks sloppy.
Well, I just like to play it out. Okay. Folks, I know we live busy lives.
Amen.
I know there's pressures of life. I know that everybody needs a break in their lives, a vacation. I'm delighted that our brother... Mark, thank you, is on a cruise. I would give anything to see him on that cruise. I could see him walking around with his cat. The time they get back from the cruise, he'll probably just make it to the gangplank. I love that guy. We prayed tonight, pre-prayer service, for Mark that when the wind would not blow off his cap. But that's another day. But the foolish virgins, they were so busy about many things that the most essential thing they didn't bring was oil. Look at Gideon's army, the next separation. What did they do? They were thirsty. They go into the river and stick their face in and start gulping. What happens when you do that? You get dirt, you get bugs. You don't know what you're sucking down, but it's indiscriminate. Indiscriminate. But the army that remained out of 32,000 was 300. And if we finish the rest of the story or the account, you'll find out that Gideon put vessels in their hands with a candle. They didn't have, you know, light switches. There was oil and light in those vessels. And that's the army that God chose. So look it. Many of us as Christians, or many Christians, are fearful. And that's why we press towards the mark. What is the mark? To have the love of Jesus, not only for him, but for everybody else. How do you love Jesus and not love those that he's redeemed? Right, Brother Justin? It's almost an oxymoron. A conflict. But notice, there are many Christians that, oh, I think I'll go to church this week. Yeah, I haven't seen Jimmy in a long time. Oh, let's go on vacation next month. Don't you have to preach, or don't you have to teach, or don't you have to take the offering next week? Well, they'll find somebody else. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, if I dwell in the house of the Lord forever. People want goodness and mercy. You love his house. His house takes preeminence. That's where the oil is. The people coming together, like brethren dwelling together in unity. It's like the oil that flowed down Aaron and Aaron's beard. And we have a prime example in our back row of Aaron's beard. You see, my life, for me, is around the house of the Lord. If I have a vacation, I think of the house of the Lord. What am I going to miss? You can talk to my grandkids. I can't wait to get to church. I know sometimes church is a drudgery. I'm not stupid. Right, honey? Sometimes church is great. But I know that when two or more are gathered in his name, he's in the midst. And I'd like to feather this out just for a few moments, and I'll conclude. All of you have gifts and talents. The call on my life is different than the call on Caleb's life. God gives us gifts and talents. But one thing I was determined to do close to 50 years ago is to build an anointing on my life. I really wanted it. I wanted to prophesy and teach the Bible. I didn't want anything else. I said, Lord, if I could just prophesy and read the Bible and teach the Bible, I'm fine. Well, he's laid a lot more things on me. And it's scary at times. I know I have oil and anointing on my life for certain things. And it's resident. It doesn't come and go. And I will tell you this, and you will not come to me after service and ask. I can tell what level of oil each of you carry. Trust me, I know. I can tell who's the deficient, who is building, and who isn't. I recognize that people that have come here, and I've seen a building on you, Gene. I've seen a building on you with all the chaos going on in your life. I've seen it begin to build. We are going to be ordained to the diaconate. The more. Why are we doing that? For me, I've seen the level of oil in your lives increase. And it's continued to increase. And also in Ladybug over here. Do you realize that it's the anointing oil? Not only does it come, and for some it comes and goes, but I know to have that anointing oil means that you have to be diligent. The third realm, diligent. What anointing on your life? You want to move in the things of God. The house of the Lord is not secondary. Him, Jesus, his people. Those that you're accountable to. Prayer. In the Word of God. Every day. I want the oil. I want oil in my lamps. Keep me burning. I want oil in my lamps. I pray. I want oil in my lamps. Keep me burning. Keep me burning, burning, burning all the day. So tonight, the word oil, the foolish virgins showed themselves sloppy. They weren't routined. Natalie speaks of it all the time, checking the boxes. To build an anointing in your life, there is boxes to check, but it doesn't come initially. It becomes a drive. If I don't get into the Word of God, when I wake up in the morning, I start salivating, drooling. Give me the Word. Give me the Word. I want the Word of God. I want the Word of God. I got to talk to Jesus about this. Everybody thinks I have the life of Riley. Sometimes it's a revolting development. But sometimes I realize the priority is God's house, prayer, in the Word of God. It's a discipline. And that oil comes from the discipline. It comes from being continually there. What if Jill didn't feel like feeding the horses one day? Oh, they can go a day. They need a fast. That doesn't cut it. You don't fast from God. You love God. You love His people. You love His house. You love the Word of God. You love to pray. Now, don't get me wrong. Prayer is a very difficult thing. Every Tuesday night we have prayer here. Josh was there. Boy, we had a real treat Tuesday night. Josh was there and he played the guitar, the songs. Very quickened, very anointed. Wonderful. Broke off every shackle. Tuesday, before Thanksgiving. I don't want to put any pressure on you, but would you do it? Please come Tuesday for prayer meeting. I know we'll be celebrating Turkey Day Thursday. But my prayer for each and every one of you is that the army that God defeated the Midianites with was an army that was discriminating. They took the water through the hand. For many of you, you know, the apostle, prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher. There are those that I'll learn myself and will not submit to the giftings that God has placed in the house of the Lord. There are those that just stick their face in the water. I read the Bible and I read all these other books. They just polluted themselves. They won't be in the army. Am I against reading extracurricular books? Of course not. You get through our bachelor program, you have to read certain books. We're not preaching ignorance. We're preaching a foundation. Big difference. So tonight, my prayer for all of us is that we increase the oil and the anointing in our lives. Let's put oil in our lamps. Let us keep burning, burning, burning. Jane, would you get up and sing that?
Sure.
And we can stand and let's take in some oil tonight. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, be upon each and every one of you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift His countenance upon you and grant you.